Je pense que c'est la personne qui est ici. I open the opportunity for members to ask questions, make comments. Donc j'ai besoin de vous dire. Je ne sais pas, non, 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 on a recruit a mother and a father in the back in that.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the presenters presenting this presentation to us. Very informative. Chair, two questions and just one comment. I think there's a bit of a problem with the strategy, because our strategy don't align to job creation. I've got a bit of a problem there. And KPIs is on the business owners and not on the employers, employees, sorry, on the employees. So I think we need to align our strategy more so that we can see exactly how much jobs we're going to create with this strategy. And I don't think this strategy, if I look at the amount of businesses and cooperatives that we're going to start, going to give us the 754,000 jobs for this year. That's just my comment. Two questions, Nancy, is that the rebate reduction program, I think it's just, there's too little being said about, and it's a very important part of small business development. We talk about in the presentation about municipalities and provincial government. I just want to ask, where does national government fit rate type reduction? Where does national government fit in it, and when are we going to have a strategy of reducing rate type on the national government level? And then, of course, the last question is about funding small businesses. We all know that funding is one of the biggest problems for the survival of small businesses. And we're going to start this new fund. There was little said about this new fund. And again, why not use CIFA? We still need that answer. Why don't CIFA come to this department? And why don't we use CIFA as the finance model? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Greetings to everyone. The Minister in absence. I don't have much to say, Chairperson. It's few questions. But let me express my happiness about what I've heard here today. Minister, I greet you in absence. I think the presentation on my side was motivating, giving us indication that although the new department, but we are now in a channel towards what we want as the portfolio committee. I've not said that and I've looked at it in terms of other things, the link with the progression. But my question would be, on the issue of budget, I've not said DG the amount given to Sweden. And at the same time, there's Cedar technology as well. You tried to explain, but I didn't get the sense why these two institutions or budgets are allocated differently. Can't you combine that amount and shift the other amount to other other projects. That was the only thing. And number two, I want to know about academic institutions and tasks. Please do not read Amas Community. It's a brilliant idea as a graduate myself. You know, in higher institutions sometimes you go to this theory, and you still go home another 1 or 2 years just to get it into the training. I do not really understand this really. Maybe you can unpack it to me how the individual participants are going to be recruited. But I really support it. And lastly will be the Mass Youth Enterprise Creation Program. And again, I really appreciate that because we all know the majority of people who are unemployed in the country are young people, including those who are in qualifications. And this kind of program to me might try to address that, but I believe if no one can clarify more to me, because also NYDA has got more of the similar things, but practically you can't see it. So I want to know the maybe the difference, so how these things go to be practically accessed. That's my picture, but overall I'm impressed with the presentation. I think it's so important. There was some presentations before, but I see change now on this one. You can't take this on every day, but when you see change, you're able to see. Well done, guys, it's like there's now a sense of hope that we're going to achieve what we want. Maybe let me stop there, Chief, for now. Thank you. No, thank you, Chair, and greetings also to the Minister and the Department officials, my colleagues. Also, let me start by also joining to what the colleague has said. I just want to indicate from the onset that I'm happy also because it shows that at least our efforts at this collective have not fallen on deaf ears. All I think what is here, it is what we have been actually arguing about, engaging about, advising each other about. And this one rejoices if you say that at least your ideas collectively have been integrated, they've been taken on board, and I think that is what is making this presentation smart, because we can talk with the same understanding, even our engagement would be very positive and profitable to all of us. That is why it will also minimize the question of agreeing or not agreeing, because there are issues that we have said always, can you add this, can you give up this, can you aid this approach? And I think that is covered. I'm very pleased also on what I have seen so far, and I think if we can go with it, we are going to politically be able to address the mandate of the new department. Now, my first question would be based on the research unit, because we have also emphasized on the research unit. To say, in the presentation, there's mention of some studies that have taken place at some points. And I just want to find out the relationship between those external studies and our research unit in China. Why I'm saying that it is because I think our research must be able to reflect on the previous experiences in order for us to get through the new path. So if our research is based on the previous experiences, it also allows us to evaluate the impact, which is very much important, because now we have said, and I've heard mostly in the presentation, presenters from time to time said, we don't rely on numbers and so on, we want an impact. So if you can explain that, have we previously looked into what happens and what was the impact and why do we take this one? right. Now, the second on the same research are also our research also being carried by pronouncements in the manifesto, the National Development Plan. I mean, National Development is not a title. It's a progressive document that will develop and continue. Now, it is fine and best if we go with it that way. And the SONAS also. So that our research are not only scientific researches on the basis of science as it is, but on the basis of a pronouncement. That is why it is that research that is based on a pronoun. You look at what the institution wants to achieve and you research on that one. I just want to get that one as a question. Coming to talk about the cohorts, I think regarding the cohorts, we have always hammered it to say we have seen a very haphazard loose situation in the cohorts. We come from there. We have seen that cohorts that are mentioned here. We see big numbers of cohorts. But if it is those cohorts that we have seen there, I would want to request that we come with a very clear implementation plan on how we are going to deal with cohorts, because majority of them are not according to the requirements and standards, because it's individuals building cohorts, it is people coming together because they are seeking jobs, and so on and so on. So that thing needs to be cleaned up so that they become cohorts around what we know as co-ops now, according to our Small Business Development Department underpinning, because we have said now we think we underpin from when we adopted the model. I think we have adopted the model and agreed amongst ourselves to say this should be a working document that must take us for us. So I think what must happen now, it shouldn't be the case of telling us about what we have seen. What we have seen on the ground, we have satisfied. At all. Now there's a lot to be done. Now if you can also tell us on how I'm going to implement the strategy that will clean it up, including the partnerships with the NGO, the private sector, the whole model that we have talked, how are you going to put it in the implementation, because I think we are at a right time not to can implement the model we have always wanted to implement. Now, coming to the monitoring and evaluation in each and every aspect of our topic, the monitoring and evaluation come from time to time. At one stage, it talks about the framework. Now, I want to tell us on when are you intending to come with that? A framework that we have norms and standards of our monitoring as an aspect on its own, because it is going to assist us. Because it will be able to tell us early on what is not going to be right, the early warnings and all these other things that are needed for an evaluation. But one key aspect that we have always missed around our evaluation was the question of the consequence. We have been afraid, we have been monitoring, we played oversight, as oversight legislators, and so on and so on. But the problem is to say the consequence. After all what we have seen, are we able to enforce whatever the action that must be taken? Now, we want to see that also being a part, if it's supposed to be a part of monitoring and evaluation, as a recommendation or whatever, but we want to see it coming up very clear now to say, as a new department, this is how we will treat our ill disciplined activities and so on and so on and so on. Because if you want to stop them, in economics, that is how the economy works, if you want to stop things, it is a decision, either positive or negative. They even say it's a win or lose. If you have to lose, lose. If you have got to win, win. But that is how you successfully implement the economy. Now, with the approach that we have been engaging, we could not reach that goal. In big projects, that is where we have failed. Now, I think here, we need to deal with it quite very clear. The training issue, Chair, I just want to ask one thing. Of course, it is said that they are linked to other areas and so on, and they will change and so on. It's fine, but the job, now it is when you deal with co-ops and other things for packets and everything. Now, your training when it comes to a job, when you train a person for a job, do you link it to the field of study, the environment and so on? So I think you can be able to clarify that one, and the mention of the FETs. I think my colleague mentioned it to say, let us be clear on how we are going to deal with the FETs and the CETAs. It shouldn't be on an informal situation where we will say, we had a meeting with CETA this morning and we agreed to this in the leaders. I don't think it will assist us. That's an experience. All those old experiences, let's throw them away because we have said, let's do things differently. And I think we have been seeing that one as a new department. Let's try and do them. And be an example to show the people that if it is said, do them differently, what does that mean in the new second phase of transition? It must reflect that it is different. The other issue, it is also on partnership with municipalities. The MD issue is very important to municipalities. As one who comes from municipalities, it's very difficult for many municipalities to have living entities. That's a struggle in municipalities. You must know that when you go to that one, you are going to have a problem. You must be prepared. How strong are you to also support and capacitate municipalities around their LED concepts? LED in municipalities in most are not functional, even in provinces. There's also somebody coming from a provincial legislature, I know. In legislation, the economic departments. We're coming from, there is from Metro in Joburg, Gauteng. We were there. We met with the economic department. They presented to us. I must be very fair and open to yourself. So we were also not satisfied, and I think officials were there. It was far from what we want. We went to the site. Oh, that's pathetic. Now you can imagine if it is at the provincial level, what about the municipality? How ready are you to can take that? It's a challenge. It's a challenge that you have to feed your stars and make sure that when you take it, you know your stories. It's not a question of you are going to ask them, but you are going to put to them what can work for us to say, this is what can work for us as the department and yourselves we want to move. For both the province and municipalities. And also, don't take it for granted around the IGR structures, intergovernmental structures. They don't work. It's a forum for meeting sometimes, it's a compliance. And so, for now, we are going to have our own way of manipulating to get through so that you are not held at ransom by the delays caused by municipalities or provinces. You say, we have since written a letter to the municipality to ask for an appointment. There's no one who can, and indeed there will be no one who can meet you. It will take years, even in the province. So you must have a way of making sure that it's not the case with you. You know why you address and you get just to address our things. And the advice that I can provide in this one is also to look into how you get closer to the back to basics strategy that has been lately, because that one, it crosses across. It takes all of us, all the spheres of government have got to invest. We are party to it. That one thing that I am convinced for now that it is well monitored according to how I see contact having it. That's the best strategy that you can align yourself. The last one, Chair, I just want to comment on the issues of the peace lines. I'm saying, over and above the little amount budget we have, it is there, it is little, like national and so on. But for you to win a case with the treasury, it is when you actually reach your baselines. Sometimes you can put yourself a target of 10 and you come up with 4, but 4 complete, strong, waiting ones. And then you said, whether the 4 out of 10 has to be managed with 7 million and finish, can you resist it during the MTDF? That is how you mobilize funding from a government, because you mobilize funding through implementation and everything. You don't go when you have not finished. You want additional funding and they are not deliverables. No one, I can't give you money also. But if you say, I wanted to do 10, I managed to do 5 with what I have, the main thing that you will need is evidence. You must be able to provide evidence to say, we made 4 and it is living, it is delivering, here it is, this is the evidence. I think this is it.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. Thanks, all the teams to the Minister and the team. I'm also welcoming the inputs that have been made. Just points that could also be considered. At all stages, I think we should work side by side with SABS so that our quality, because the very thing that would be suspected of us each time SMMEs and cooperatives produce something, people will want to say, is it good quality or is it a small business quality? So if we can work hard on that, I know it's not something that you can easily include in the report that you have presented. The other part is to convert, because the plans are speaking more of outputs. I don't know how we can do it such that it includes outputs. I know it's difficult, but let's look at it as a challenge for all of us and say, is outputs, how can we convert them into outcomes? Difficult as it is to measure outcomes. And also the safety aside, one danger is we must make sure that we don't underspend. We can't be one of the departments that is said to be taking back money to treasury. If we do that, we will have killed ourselves for years to come. I will even think it's better to spend and run short of funds for a month or two rather than to underspend. And when we spoke about research, monitoring and evaluation, I think I got the impression that we were saying we didn't receive enough funding for that. But you'll correct me, because if it is like that, it is this department that needs more a muscle for performing those tasks, even more than big companies, medium-sized companies. But SMMEs, cooperatives, those are the departments, or those are the areas where research is critical. When a cooperative farming area is to plant beans, research must have been done thoroughly to find out whether is it beans that are appropriate for this area, is it watermelon, because we can no longer plant and say we will see the products whether they are succeeding or not. So I think I will hear when you respond whether you were saying we are under resourced there. And the other part that could also be a threat to us as we execute our tasks is a partnership with the two spheres, the two other spheres. Because naturally there is a hidden competition. So what is it that we would do to make sure that we win the two partners to work the journey with us and take credit also? So when we take credit, they also take credit, because we must make sure that we are not we mustn't be seen as a big brother or a big sister, you know, so that they feel they are benefiting from empowering us. Municipalities will have to assist us with the land. Rural areas, the chiefs will have to assist us with land, etc. There are old buildings. There is subset. When we were at the burial site of over the weekend in the northwest of Comrade J.B. Marx, I parked at many areas where I realized that buildings are just lying idle with broken windows, but you can see that this building has not been used for many years, because it is one area where we can capitalize on to see these buildings that you are not using. How can we purchase them? How can we use them so that partnership with municipalities, well, that way it will assist us to deliver on our mandate. One but last is that when we talk of creating employment, Comrade Chair, shouldn't we also talk of avoiding retrenchments and dismissals? Because if I'm not mistaken, unless something is reversed, Telkom was speaking of retrenching many workers. So on the one side, we are struggling to build employment. On the other side, other departments are going all out to retrench and to dismiss. Shouldn't, I don't know whether at the cabinet level, because part of job creation affects all departments. I don't know, Comrade Minister, whether when departments are to retrench, one can forgive private sector because they will say they do their thing, they don't need to consult anybody. But where it is us as government, do we consult at cabinet level? Do we discuss whether it's strategic or not strategic? Do we discuss and say, aren't there other routes where these workers can go into so that we still retain their skills? The last one, on the budget that we are receiving, I thought that our department is one of those departments that need more work bodies, which means we must be able to pay salaries for more people. Why warm bodies? It must be human empowered, the department, because it needs human beings to transverse South Africa. It needs human beings to go and support those small emerging farmers, those cooperatives, those small industries, those that are making uniform, because they are not equipped to be technologically advanced. It means we can only communicate with them and exchange with them at the level of their development. And their level of development will say, we are small businesses, we are cooperatives, we don't have advanced emails, we don't have... So because if it's a big company, they can substitute person power by machinery. But with them, it means we must have warm bodies that must traverse the country. So I don't know whether we will be able to win that fight and ask please for more funds, or please to have more personnel employed. Thanks, Commissioner.
You can go, you can come in, or if you choose to wait and see whether they are responding to the questions and then make a follow up. A good coach of a team doesn't put all good players in the first on the first half of the game. I'm a Pirate supporter. I'm a pirate supporter, and the one thing good is about being a supporter of the team, you must know the history of the team and the strategy and tactics of the team. You see, a lot of Pirates, there was a time that it was putting Ujomo on the last minute, and he would just raise his hand to indicate that I am here, pass the ball to me, and then he will just stand on top of the ball with a right leg and then point the direction as if he was going to throw the ball, and the ball would just go into the net, even for the last 2 minutes of the match. So that was the strategy of Orlando Pirates, because by that time, all other players would have been tired, and Ujomo Yena is a fresh egijima kakhulu kunabo bonke abantu, and stand on a position that they have asked abanye abantu, even the defenders. So I don't want to have all my strikers going on the first half of the team, of the match. Others must sit back and observe how the other team is then responding.
So, question, do you indicate that now can stand on top of the ball?
No, you see, you put a combination. I have no members here. My promotion. Okay, let us deal with this question, and then we'll take the second round of the question. That was just in a lighter note. Not John would not in our question. And written, yeah, written.
No, I'll answer a few, and then the difficult ones, colleagues will answer. It will respond to the honorable.
Who's the most fit between minister? Who's the most fit between the acting DG and the DG? He must take the most difficult one. It's an arrangement so that we can begin to see Lava who are leading coming forward. Like, who leads Enterprise? Yeah, my wasalela ngaphambili. When I'm so lungile lapho ba baphuma wena ukuthi abo negotiator laphaya. So wena uzobabheka, yeah. Uzobabheka ukuthi you just look at them and see, and then you fill up the gap. But laba nje ama flows awezi ngaphambili. Yeah. That is a very good teaching arrangement. Yeah. Yeah. Now, my mom lead the delegation. We shall talk a bit. Buna gal kut e, yon ke lina ganya gale. E ya, mfali tonu sa. Jalo, we must present that to the Salaganj.
Can we,
yeah.
Shepherd, can I start maybe dealing with the questions that relate to cooperatives and the youth which were raised? I'm going to start with the one that deals with the mass youth enterprise creation program to explain to my honorable member what this program entails, because the youth directorate is under my management. Let me begin. We realize that the level of entrepreneurship among young people in South Africa is very low. The reason that is that if you look at the history of the country, we tend to train people primarily to get jobs, not in the area of entrepreneurship or to start businesses. So we have designed this program specifically to enhance the level of entrepreneurship among young people, to direct them in that particular direction. The aim here is to, in an environment which we call it a hand-holding environment, or what we call it an environment whereby they are being managed, the young people are going to be recruited and are going to be trained to do venture creation. And they're going to be given certificates. The venture creation model entails them being trained on a skill that they're going to be doing, that it's whatever skill, and they're going to be trained also on entrepreneurship in terms of management, how to manage their affairs, how to develop a business plan, how to do a feasibility study. All of this takes place in an environment where it's going to be on a 12-month basis, and they get trained on doing that. What are we looking for? We're looking for a number of outcomes here. We're looking at those young people being confident enough to therefore get into business. Then the first output they'll be doing, they'll get the certificate, which is a venture creation qualification. That's the thing that they're going to take out of the program. The second thing that they're going to take up out of this program is for them, they will therefore develop feasibility study on the area of the business that they are choosing. It could either be a cooperative or it could just be an SME enterprise. Then they develop a business plan, and all of that takes place in an environment whereby they are being looked after by the service providers. Once they've done that, they then also within that environment get funding. So what we are planning is that out of these trained young people emerge businesses that are going to therefore be able to pick up some of the opportunities that are there in government, particularly this issue of 30% set aside. They're going to be targeting that we are looking at them taking opportunities that are there within the private sector in terms of the private sector side, what we call it, the procurement accord with us. So there are particular opportunities that are going to come there in terms of them being able to be suppliers to the business. So that is the aim of this particular program, is that at the end of that 12 months, they are going to emerge with businesses that are going to be run, and they will be funded fully within an environment where they are being managed and they are being handholded until they get the certificate and they get to develop the business plan and then implement it accordingly. Then they will then either get into an incubator, which we're going to be putting them post the 12 months, or they're going to stand on their own 2 feet if they're confident enough to be able to go on their own. That is the aim of the program. And the targets are there. We are targeting 1,000 of them on the first year. We want to do more, but we want to target those in rolling it out. We're going to be partnering with the Center of Excellence on this. We're going to be partnering with India in rolling out this instrument. So we're going to be using, and even also private sector enterprises, we're going to be targeting them to be able to assist in terms of the supply chain in that regard. So that's the aim of the Mass Youth Enterprise Creation Program. Then to go to the second one, which is the The implementation plan, only remember that you said what is the implementation plan that we are developing. First, I will start by saying that the department has made a very good strategic decision. We want to develop what we call a cooperative development model. And it's a document that we're going to come and present it here to yourself, so that you could see what is the model that we're going to be implementing to roll out on cooperatives practically now in terms of implementing and then developing them. Within that cooperative development model, we're going to flesh out where, how we're going to be implementing it, how we're going to be rolling it, and who are the partners we're going to be working with in terms of rolling out on cooperatives. The issues that we're addressing are the following within this model. Where is the market? The biggest issue identified with cooperatives is that when cooperatives tend to be established, the biggest challenge for them is access to market. So within this model, we're going to bring strongly the component of access to market. And secondly, what we're going to do, we're going to come up with mechanisms of support. We are amending our incentive schemes to be able to tighten them up so that we can ensure that only those cooperatives that are going to be sustainable and successful are the ones that get the resources of government. So we're going to be treating the cooperative incentive scheme to tighten it up so that we don't end up giving funds to those that do not are not succeeding and they're not sustainable. And in fact, what happened at the end of the day, one of the members was saying to me, these resources can tend to be abused or not used correctly. So there we're going to be identifying that model. The market, the biggest market is within the state in terms of procurement that is available. We're going to be entering into transversal agreements, and they're going to be articulated within that particular model with various levels of government at the national level, at provincial level, right up to the level of municipalities. We are going to be working with them on a project-by-project basis. Three things we're after. We are after monitoring. If a project is located within a given municipality, the municipality must assist us in ensuring that that project is also monitored. But there is co-funding arrangements that we entered into with those particular partners. And there is also co-support that we provide. We could provide funding, others would provide training. The Department of Education will be there to provide strongly the support and training that we require to leverage on CETA money, to leverage the money that is available on the cooperative development, cooperative training academy, to leverage on a number of other projects by project. Each project, if it needs technical training, those technical trainings are going to be designed and be provided in the project. If there is a need for a particular managerial training, it will be provided. And all those various forms of training are going to be provided in working in partnership strongly with the Department of Higher Education, and the transversal agreements are going to be there. On procurement, we're going to be using all the departments, health, Department of Higher Education, Department of Basic Education, all the departments that procure correctional services, all of those that are going to be part and parcel of this model to make sure that cooperatives have a strong aspect of the market access, but they also have a strong aspect of training, they've got a strong aspect of funding, so that all those elements are brought together in one in all the projects. The entire value chain from primary of producing agricultural commodities right up to cooperative, consumer cooperatives, we're going to be looking at it fully and entirely. So our projects are going to be designed in closing those value chains that are there so that we can have the entire value chain of cooperative development. So those are the models that we're going to be developing, and that's the framework we're going to bring on board. The minister is saying I must finish. Let me touch on one minute and then I'll leave. LED issues, we're going to be working. We've got a unit in our department that will deal specifically LED. It's going to be leading us on the penetration with municipalities. And definitely, we will then be able to work with all those 180-something municipalities in delivering those. That's difficult, but we're going to do it. Thank you very much.
unless there's going to be another question that arises from what Jeff has said. Honorable members, I would also like to indicate to yourselves, not shutting down answers and questions, because I think that is very important. I'd like to also make this point that in every strategic plan and every annual plan, you have to have an implementation plan, a business plan that will go into each and every area of how are you going to do it. This is what the department will have to do after this process. So that at the end of the day, each and every one of the ones who are here today in the different units, they still have a huge responsibility in front of them of breaking it down now to the real business plan. So when Jeff Conference is talking about a model, consideration also needs to be taken of the contributions that have also been made by the portfolio committee itself. And question about where the cooperatives are, what is happening, why are they failing, what you earlier indicated, honorable member, is critical for us. Because my view is, coming into this space, the little that I have seen of it is really painful to swallow. It's a painful pill to swallow. And my view is, it's clear that you had a smaller unit that were focusing on it under DCI, a bigger department, and therefore the focus that needed to be there was not there, including the very portfolio committee. I don't think that when the DCI used to come, the portfolio committee spent as much time on these issues as now you are spending here. So we will come back. Let us answer all the questions that are here today, but I'm putting the rider that you will still have to scrutinize the business plan that we put in front of you per each unit to prove as whether we put here is going to happen or not. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. If I may, I've picked up about four questions that are relevant to work that I do. And one of them is related to reduction. I think it was asked in terms of where does national government fit into the whole red tape situation. I think in our presentation we have talked about institutionalization of this work, and by that we mean that we have to implement it across all the spheres of government. We're starting with the provinces because we have to undertake a study that will actually take this deep to understand what are the intricacies of red tape in provincial and provincial level. However, we're not actually leaving out the national government per se. We want to institutionalize this across the government. In fact, when we started with this program, we also even looked at institutions, the agencies, the support agencies themselves, because we were saying their turnaround time is not really satisfactory, and there's a lot of paperwork if we were to apply for a service to these agencies, and therefore we really have to look at that. So institutionalization means we have to look at the entire spectrum of implementation of this program across all spheres of government. And the other thing that is very critical, I think that was raised in the presentation, was the task team. We believe that if you put together a task team that comprises of various expertise and people from various government departments, not government departments, from various spheres of government, you are able to actually unearth certain things that you might not have had an opportunity to know about around this issue. And also working together in terms of how we drive the process of red tape, we need that collectivism in our, that is our understanding, that we have to actually deal with in that manner. The other question that I picked up was the issue of the research in terms of building experiences based on the research that we do. Very strongly, Honorable Whip, that we believe that research is very important because you need to build intelligence. You can't actually develop programs and strategies in a vacuum. You have to have that intelligence that will actually feed into the development of the strategy. And therefore, a component that is very strong on the research is needed. Hence, when we actually initially structure the department, the research component was a very strong component that we actually put forward as a proposal. The unfortunate part is that it was never agreed upon by those that are supposed to agree on the fact. But that component, especially because we are a department, we need to try to have some kind of a central catchment area in terms of the database that will actually capture all the information that you need so that you can build that intelligence. But it needs, of course, to be manned by people who will have strong analysis of these things so that they can fit into the strategies and the programs as well. The third question that I picked up was the question around the SABS. We have to engage the SABS, and we already have a program that they are working with CEDA. They have a what you call global agreement with CEDA, where they are actually providing a service for enterprises to actually produce goods of quality. However, we have to take this beyond this. If you look at 30% procurement, for instance, it tells us that if we want to actually produce goods of quality, that these enterprises will be able to supply in government. We have to work very closely with the ABS. There's no doubt about it. And the other thing is that we also have to have programs that are tailor-made for small businesses within SABS and reduce even the costs, because the other issue is the cost factor if you work with SABS. So we've got to actually engage them around those issues. I picked up also the issue around the impact, the outcomes. I think the MNE will be able to, because I mean the outcomes, they come at down the stream in terms of the implementation of any every program. So you've got to build a very strong MNE program that will be able to bring those outcomes and the impact that we need on any program that we implement. So I think the MNE and monitoring evaluation, you need to have that. The last from me, I think it was the question around partnerships. I think what you presented today, we talked about the task team, where when we talked about task team that comprised of various tools from various departments, provincial governments, and also the agencies, where we sit in terms of the intergovernmental relations that was mentioned by Honorable Kassa, where we actually tackle the issue of small business and cooperatives and come up with the strategies that says, as a province, as national and as local government and as agencies, what is the common cause that we need to drive around this program. So we have a task team that is very institutionalized because it's a feeder to the technical NIMEC, so that we can actually drive the work of enterprises to that level. So those are the questions that the Honorable Chair had in my plate. Thanks.
Chairperson, excuse me, I will have to keep on heading where I feel. It's not that they didn't answer adequately, but some things might end up missing. You see, the whole issue of research, monitoring, and monitoring implementation and evaluation, the importance of it for us also is basing ourselves on the fact that we have at national level your monitoring and evaluation in the office of the president. What we want to avoid is to only wait for that report that comes from there, then we start running around and say, hey, what happened here? We need to be able to connect to their system as to what exactly are they looking for. Because they are overall looking at monitoring and evaluating, all of us as ministers need to respond to that unit. Even today, when I had to escape there and go to there, there was a very interesting meeting. There was a very interesting presentation that they were making as monitoring and evaluation. They were monitoring the industrial marketing and investment assistance, which is called EMIA. This is something that, of course, I'm finding here. It's a report that was requested by GTI, but the department of economy, M&E did it themselves. Now, when you have your own, firstly, you will not make it on its own there, that's hanging. It needs to be connected to the entire plan. What is your purpose? What is your final output, as you rightfully say? Let's connect the output together with, what did you say, output and outcomes. Now, I think there was a bit of a misunderstanding when we made the submission to the Department of Public Enterprise, and we put this up to say one of the things we want to do is to have this in-house of our own, because we don't want only people outside criticizing and we are not able to catch some of these things. Even the criticism is outside. That's why you also pull it, because the criticism that's there outside, you cannot ignore it. You need to bring it in here. So that's, we will have to find another way, because the good thing about Treasury and including the public service themselves, they said we seem to be coming with a whole lot of new things, and sometimes it becomes very difficult to fix them into the blocks.
Shemani, what's the term you use? Is he gone? Oh.
No, there's a term that Tembani likes using of breaking new grounds. You can't be doing things in the same old way. You need to find new ways. If, because we're a new department and we might want to introduce new systems that we see can be helpful, so be it, so we'll do that. We'll find a way of not losing this. Even if the budget is not there, we'll have to be creative, because I personally believe it's a very good thing to do, even in the ministry itself. I'm sure you've seen Babi coming here from the ministry's point of view. He is responsible for research, monitoring, and evaluation, but the department, in my view, has to have a strong one, because one person in the ministry is not enough to do that. And so that will still come back to you, because we won't lose it, even though the issue of the budget is not there. The other one I wanted to relate to is the one of the relationship between ourselves. You know, this issue of partnering with the spheres of government. You have visited the provinces yourselves. You have seen the disjointedness of the programs that we implement and the resources that get used in the process and gets lost. Because, for instance, if you look at this report that I'm talking about, that I have to quickly go there and make contribution to, it might be interesting for you also as a study group to really look at this report, because this report goes into the heart of what we are about as small and medium enterprises and cooperatives. It's a report that indicates how much resources have been pumped to people. Despite all pumping all that money, they are not export ready. So that's why I'm saying it might be of interest to you to look at, because then you will see for yourself that government realized the weakness and therefore said, in order for us to be scientific in dealing with these challenges, let's have an outsider doing the research instead of ourselves. So that report is there. It's now going to be a public report, I'm sure, very soon. And with regard to the three spheres of government, I can assure you it is a nightmare. From the time that we arrived, we wrote letters to the premier, just introducing ourselves, that they're the new department now. This is what the department, these are the objectives of the department, the mandate. Let me say the mandate of the department, and therefore we are asking to be connected to the premier as well as the MECs. Very few provinces responded. I will not name, but I can assure you, very few responded. But we haven't given up hope, because we do believe through the MINMET processes and other processes, for instance, sitting in cabinet, I believe that that's where one has to be very sharp in sitting there and making sure that that element of coordination between provincial, national, provincial, and local, particularly in the economic cluster, is a priority for everybody. So I'm not adding to what you say, so if it doesn't get lost, it mustn't be reduced only to the issue of the task team alone. But the task team is developing further a mechanism of how you do it. Since you write a letter and the letter doesn't, no response comes back to the letter. And then the provincial summits that are happening everywhere.
And mind you, they will recall that when the summits were happening, I said, look, I'm not happy with provincial, you can't walk in and then run with provincial summits. Why don't we ask the provinces to start at the local level, build up to provincial summits, then we'll build up to a national summit. Unfortunately, in government we have this disease, which I think we need to really work hard and change. Once people have decided that they have an event, the event must go on, it's towards the end of the financial year, and then the money must not go back, and all that. Then they continue with the plans, despite the fact that they are saying, we might not get the best results. My view is, I want to be hard and harsh on it, because at the end of the day, we will not be able to deliver on this if we are not. But at the same time, I'm very conscious of the fact that what happens in the provinces and the local structures, they also have their own dynamics, and I must also be conscious to those dynamics. However, the dynamics must not stand in our way in as far as delivering to the people are concerned. So even now, in the business plans that we have to develop, we have to take that into consideration. We have to insist on the premiers and the MECs of economic development to work very closely. Some of them have changed even their titles. They have included small and medium enterprises and cooperatives as part of their responsibility. If we start there, then it means at least there's a change that we're going to see. But it's not going to be an easy thing, because people get used to certain ways of doing things and habits. But I don't think that the department is going to give up on it. We're going to keep trying. Our responsibility is to convince them why it is important to do so. And that's not just a short on them. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks to the honourable members for the questions and the positive comments. I have two questions that I noted. One is on funding, and then the other one is centers for entrepreneurship. If I deal with the funding one, the Enterprise Development Fund is one of the new initiatives we have. It seeks to attract funding from the private sector, as opposed to waiting for National Treasury to give us an allocation. And we are so excited that we want to use the PPPE lever, which has, you'll recall that the seven elements have now been collapsed into five elements, and one of the elements talks to enterprise and supplier development. And the requirement is that private companies should contribute 1% of their net profit after tax to developing new enterprises. And so we as a department, we've met with the Department of Trade and Industry, and we've informed them that it is our interest to look after small businesses and cooperatives, because that is not their responsibility. And so in Israel, what we're saying is we're going to use that lever to set up this fund. Whether it's going to be housed within the department or outside the department at FIFA, the business case is going to look at all those modalities. So we're busy now with discussions with all the respective parties, so that in a sense we can produce that business case. We believe it is a fund that's going to complement existing programs, because FIFA is funding SMEs, NEF, ADC, commercial banks, NGOs, but we believe that there is a need to apply for this fund. And then the second question asked is on centers for entrepreneurship. And thanks, Honourable Member, you know, for noting that, previously, especially the technical and vocational training and what is it called, TVET. And they've largely been focusing on practical skills, give students, artisans, engineering, and a whole range of other technical subjects. But the issue of exposing the students to entrepreneurship has been lacking. So I think as the department, we've taken advantage of that. And so far, our idea is to have one center of entrepreneurship in each province. So it has been launched in the Eastern Cape, the Western Cape, Gauteng, and Mpumalanga for the new financial period, we're looking at expanding it to three other provinces, KZN and Northwest. There are ongoing discussions. And how it works is that students are selected to be part of sort of an incubator. An example is in Herzebande, 50 students have already been selected, you know, to be part of that incubator where they are going to be taught entrepreneurship in theory. But the good thing about it is also they have to run a business practically. And so it's not just a question of learning from the textbook, but practically those students must run a business. And the colleges are going to monitor, you know, every student who goes through that fair is going to be monitored by that FED or TVET for at least a period of 3 years, just to see that they are in business. And in over and above that, the department will also be monitoring during that 3 years, but also when students have graduated. Because our idea is that students, when they graduate, they shouldn't be unemployed. They shouldn't sit at home with a skill. So those that get exposed should continue to run businesses. So we'll monitor as the department to make sure that happens. Just another practical example, again, in Herzebande, they are also envisaging to even get funding to purchase a guest house, because each of these centers are going to be sector specific. So in the case of Herzebande and Fort Bay, the sector there is hospitality and the artisan industry. And in the case of Ekurhuleni West College, the focus is on manufacturing, in particular welding. And the fourth center in Eastern Cape is going to be focusing on agriculture. So the idea is that the students are learning those particular skills, and therefore they should start businesses in relation to those skills. So that's the format of how the centers work. One last thing, honorable members, is that we're not only targeting students that are at the college, but we also want the college to assist the community. In the case of Port Bay, for an example, we want that college to target the communities of Khayelitsha and Mitchell's Plain, because there are campuses for these colleges, so that even SMEs surrounding those colleges can also benefit from the technical assistance and the exposure on entrepreneurship. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. In addition to what has been said, I want to refer back again to what I said, that there's a lot of work that needs to be done here. One of the things that we don't want honorable members to come across is that we come and we talk about the colleges and what we think must happen in the colleges, and then you get somebody calling you from the Eastern Cape and saying this thing has collapsed. What is the meaning of all this? My view is we also, in the development of the action plan, we do need to go back a little bit and look at the ones that have been launched even before we came in. Where are they? What is the impact? What else can we tweak in there so that at the end of the day, those colleges must produce what we say is we see here, and they must also be effective in the manner that the local communities must also contribute. I'm raising this issue because I'm aware of the fact that the one in the Eastern Cape, for instance, there are issues. The department is submitting a submission already to myself on the basis of the worry that, Minister, you go to Mpumalanga, you are launching at this one, and then you go to another place, it's launching, and yet the one that you launched a few months ago is already collapsing. So we will really do what we call the double dip. It will be a bit of an evaluation, going back and looking at, okay, this is here now, but what has happened before? Where can we make the changes? And this is the opportunity and the platform for us, I mean the time for us to be able to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Charleston. Unfortunately, I'm left with the difficult ones. It's a problem I think we'll need to talk about. Then to respond to some of the questions that were asked by Honorable Kruger, he was not pleased that our KPI are more on business ownership and not on job creation. This is one of the issues that we've discussed, because if you want to look at the impact, I think job creation is a good measure. And we unfortunately operating with the instruments or with the templates that came from National Treasury and TPME. You know, they want us to report on number of enterprises, number of SMEs, number of cooperatives. But we intend to start the discussions with them, because ours is more about impact, it's not about numbers. Look and tell them that this is how we want, you know, to report, these are the things that they need to take into consideration, because the unfortunate part is they develop these instruments or these tablets without us as government department, and we're just told to comply. So it's one of the issues which is very valid that we'll take up with the respective department. And then you raised an issue about the amount of SMEs and cooperatives saying they are not going to give us the 90% by 2015. If you look at the number that are there, no, it's true, but what we are banking on is that the transversal agreements that we are going to be taking going forward are going to assist us to bump up those figures, because we are wary of putting those figures now, even before we enter into transversal agreements. So we believe that with the transversal agreements, we'll be able to bump up those numbers and come close, if not reaching those estimates that are on the national development plan. And then you asked about the CIFA. CIFA will be coming to the department from next week. Yeah, from next week, the new financial year, they should be reporting to us. Yes, they'll have to come here and get baptism. They'll be born again. And then, I think colleagues have covered most of the questions, and the minister has covered most of the questions that were asked by colleagues, by the honorable members. I think the issues around monitoring and evaluation is very critical for us. Elite strategies, we understand the challenges that you presented. Some of us, we worked in the municipalities. We used to ignore nature, and now it's our turn, they are ignoring us. So we are trying to build a better relationship. We are trying to build better relationship, because it's very important for us to have something to offer them as well, you know, so that they can see that this will add value to what they are doing. But it is also critical for us to look at the relationship that we can build with COGA. I remember they tried to introduce some legislation, you know, because even the quality of the people that are there at local government, that you go there, that is a PA, next time the person is an LED manager. So you wonder the miracle that happened, you know, within 2 weeks. But I think we need to build on the relationship and make sure that even our leader offices, they do support municipalities in terms of providing economic intelligence, ensuring that they also support them in terms of profiling of the businesses, because we have serious challenge in terms of skills. They don't match at the municipal level, and we don't want to go there in terms of how these people get there in the first place. So I think I've tried to cover most of the issues that were raised, and thank you. A very important one is the issue of the model. I think we need to settle that one, because it was presented, you presented the cooperatives model, and we are going to work on that.
The one way I was arguing, but I get the impression that the input is not appealing for one point, that this department cannot be regarded like other departments in the sense of person power. But the motivation is what I have submitted.
Yes, I think you are correct. We need warm bodies to assist us, because the number of or the understanding of what needs to be done, we cannot just dedicate it to provincial and local government. like we were talking about, but Honorable Makwasa was raising, is the issue of capacity at that level. We are hopeful that during the midterm, we'll be able to motivate for more resources to come to us so that we can be able to support people who can assist us in implementing the mandate, because it is a challenge in terms of people understanding and connecting to our mandate. It is something that we'll need to raise strong with the DPSA, as well as National Treasury. No, it's a valid point. I think I forgot when Minister, the issue that Honourable Mabasa raised about retrenchment and things of the SOEs, do they conduct at cabinet level? So they do.
Well, I have not experienced so far, but one would take it that for every SOC, there's a minister responsible, and therefore, no, let me not say I have an experience. I've actually experienced one, which is with this SOC. One expects that those issues would be discussed at cabinet level, but it also depends at what level the retrenchment is being done. I really cannot see that. Those issues will come to cabinet, but as to what the discussions, how the discussions go, I don't know, because since I arrived, I haven't experienced any being discussed. But I take it that, you know, that's what is expected, that there must be a discussion, unless I'm misunderstanding the question.
Could I speak again on the issue, the one of retrenchment and dismissals, so that the minister can respond more appropriately? Telkom has issued a statement that they are going to retrench because. So my question was, it means on the one side we are saying we need to create the employment, but on the other side, we are dismissing and retrenching. And when we dismiss and retrench, it means we are retrenching them into a queue of a grant in that area. So, the question is, have they really exhausted any other plans to avoid such? Because I was saying with private sector, it's more difficult. They are not completely in our hands. But where it is us, I think we are killing ourselves, because some of those people who produce them to work there, you may find the company has taken 15 years or so, and then it dismisses, it retrenches at the fall of the head. So I was wondering, because that's a critical decision, whether the minister consent has to share with cabinet, and cabinet says, yes, you go ahead, or the minister does that unilaterally. That's where I was wondering.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I don't think the minister would do that on his or her own. And besides, there's the Minister of Labour, and besides, there are guidelines, and besides, there's a whole lot of things that need to be fulfilled. I saw that one in the paper. I read it in the paper, but as to what the minister, the relevant minister, and the Minister of Labour would do about it, I'm sure they would have to do something about it. I should follow up.
This one also is a national question, because it affects the arrangement of the country, government, labour, and so on. So in our situation in South Africa, we have not been at a point where this kind of issues can be addressed, and it has been the trade unions. Because in other countries, people may earn less, but they retain their jobs for a long time. Now here, people sunset, take it for granted that if you negotiate lesser from what he or she was taking, for her to retain the work, you will not achieve that because of the nature of our arrangement in the country. So I'm saying it's still a national matter for other forums like NEDLAC So on that is why I agree with the minister to say it's still outside the parameters of the ministers, as ministers in the department. It's complicated.
Second, depend for my substitute much. Honorable Lawood, Honorable Kruger, Honorable Lego,
thanks, Abishan. I'm partly covered, as you said, by the explanation from our chief and the Honorable Minister, more especially on the issue of the local government involvement, the provincial issue of government. I'm totally covered. So, but I wanted to ask or to know about the, in the beginning of this portfolio committee, we requested that maybe the name cooperative must be included in the department. So we are again trying to remind the Honorable Minister and the official maybe to look after this matter. Other issues I wanted to say was the budget. That the budget we're given is obvious, it's very low. But what we're saying is a particular committee. We are behind you, the Honorable Minister and the official, that the leak we have in our hands, let's prove those who are big brothers, who are maybe thinking that this thing will vanish and the department will go back to the main department of DTI. Let's prove with this budget they give us, actions must speak to not their ways. Then we prove them wrong, they will be baptized and born again. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, thank you, Jay. I'm partly covered by the Minister. Just a question to, or a comment to Jerry about the new range situation model. Many, many years ago, I think it was about 2002, 2003, I was involved in the service CETA developing this new Venture Reaction Program. And we were three trainers that rolled this new Venture Creation unit standard or whatever the education plan out. The biggest problem, and this is why I want to talk to Jeffrey about it, the biggest problem of the new Venture Creation Program those days were, you know, when you train an electrician, you put an electric rope in and you teach them how to do everything practically. And in new venture creation, for business, there's no working bench. And to find business, especially small businesses, to take these learners in and to give them the skill of running a business is impossible. Because those business owners will think they will become opposition, you know, after they learn it. So finding a working bench for the venture creation program is a huge problem. And if you can cross that problem, I think it will work differently. And also, as I say, I was part of writing the program, so I was really excited about the new venture creation program. That's fine.
Thank you, sir. First of all, let me congratulate Minister Lechimiake for compiling this strategic planning. I know it was not easy, it was difficult, but as a committee, you've done exactly that was expected from you. For the little money that you have got, sometimes you must appreciate the little that you have got and moving forward. But with this department, it's a new department, but it's got a vision and you are on the mission. We hope that Minister has said we are still going to go back, but as it is now, it looks like we are just moving forward, and we are going to rally behind you and support you moving forward. Thank you very much.
Big sister. Thank you very much for the presentation. I would also want to join members of the portfolio committee when they say that they are happy with the quality of the document presented to us, not just quality in terms of the cap, the quality in terms of relating, quality in terms of content and relating the mandate of the department to what we understand from a portfolio perspective as challenges that exist on the ground. I also want to make this observation that this is the first meeting in which we are all relaxed. You are very relaxed because, and we are also relaxed, we don't have any anxiety because for the first time we have found one another. It will then be easier for us to move forward. We have not reached an age where we can then say we are still failing. But I think that we have passed the first stages of Elena Driver, who doesn't understand the difference between the first year and the second year. And when it's supposed to put the first year, probably the third year in the cast also. And I want to commend both the minister and the team in the department for having arrived at the level of sharing a common perspective, because you can't move forward if you do not share a common perspective. And I think this presentation demonstrated that is we are at the same level in terms of understanding both the mandates and the challenges that we need to address. The how part of it is what we will together work moving forward. And also what I'm observing is that we are also beginning to see the obstacles from a common perspective. I want to single out one input made by the SNDG that we have put these performance indicators because we are told to do so. That is what he is saying. But in our view, we share the same perspective of the portfolio committee of putting a performance indicator that talks to the impact. And he is then saying, what I'm hearing him say is that our hands are at the moment tied. There is nothing that we can do to change the performance indicator to what we understand our marriage to be, because we are using a template that is given to us, designed without our input. And I share the same view with you. Another observation that I want to make is that Honorable Ramaphosa is saying we adopted a model here. That is what he's saying. And just is saying we will be coming back to present a model. And I have asked Unomta to reprint the model. But when I look at the document that has been presented to us today, is that I am beginning to see the features of that model in the document that has been presented today. You will not see it in the same manner it was proposed, because when we adopted it as a portfolio commission, we said we are adopting it in principle. And it then has to still to be worked out to inform both the strike plan of the department as well as the business plan. And in her response, the minister is saying, what we are presenting today is the strategic plan of the department which cover the period 2015 to 2019, and we are also presenting today the annual performance plan. We will then, at a later stage, in the department now, under each program, develop a business plan, which means that what we see here is not necessarily the business plan and implementation plan that you will see when you get into the department. So, I ask that this be printed again because I see a lot in this document that has been presented, which comes from here. And what I would want to make as an input, not a question, is that this department is a very large department. And it is a very powerful department, only if it can use the place and the position, the space given to it, and the instruments and the liaison. I've never come across any department that has got the power of going to another department, sit down with it, and agree that with another department will change. How you are going to help me achieve my own target? I got the answer in the panel for the first time. For a department to be given the power of going to Porta and say, I have read your back to basic document, and you are talking about the potholes, you are talking about cleaning of the graveyard, you are talking about making the streets look clean, you are talking about cutting verge, and I see that as an opportunity for me to achieve my own target and to execute my core business requirement. And because what this department will be talking to the Department of COPTA about is already a problem for COPTA. And in the back to basic document, there is already a mention of 7% budget. It's not this minister that is saying, it's the Minister of COPTA. We allocate 7% for maintenance to municipalities. So it's a budget that comes on a silver platter. Because if COPTA doesn't have the expertise, it is not mandated to establish AMA cooperatives and AMA SMMEs. But it has got a budget that the department can help into and go to COPTA and say, we would want to assist you to address your issue of potholes, veg cutting, cleaning the streets, cleaning the graveyard. And you also speak their language and say, by the way, you have many households that cannot pay you for services that you provide to them. We would also want you to assist you to broaden your revenue base. Can you partner with us? I don't see how COPTA would say no. I don't see how COPTA would say no. Because the interest of COPTA is to deliver these services. And interest of COPTA is to also reduce the number of households that cannot afford to pay for services. And if then the Department of Small Business comes with a strategy of establishing cooperatives and SMMEs that would then address the issue of service delivery and at the same time reduce the number of indigents that are sitting on the indigent register. UCOCA would come running. COCA would come running. So you are then achieving your mandate without having to spend a cent from yourself. You are thinking in a creative manner. But then when you come to COCA and COCA asks you, but where are you going to get the skilled people from? Because these people that you are talking about are not skilled. You then say, both of us, first agree with me that we share the same interest. And then let the two of us go and approach the Department of Higher Education and say to them, let the skills development, their skills development program be geared to address the problem of potholes, vegetating, cleaning of the graveyard, road marking, so that teachers do not find the skills that are not actually needed to deliver the services. And when each department of a small business, they figure if they have the banner, they have a culture. If problem, you have a higher education, which is the money is spent, but the placement, you have a when they have trained, I am big in terms of the skills. Even if they get placed for learnership, they are placed to do wrong work that is not in terms relevant to their training. But Nina, as small business, you are then creating a placement that is relevant to the skill, but the placement that is also relevant to the service delivery. Now, let us count how many municipalities we are talking about at the moment. 278. Okay. Let's say for the potholes program, we will get 10 young people in each municipality. I'm reducing the number. I know that the pilot project in the Hibiscus Coast, only for Hibiscus municipality, not Ugu, took 53. Let us reduce the number to 10 on potholes or road maintenance. Multiply that by 278. How many jobs are you coming up with? The number of cooperatives is 278. It is equivalent to municipalities. And I am reducing the number of people that are participating on the pothole repair to 10, but I know that the pilot project that took place in Ugu with my involvement is 53. Hibiscus, 53. Let us put that one aside. Let's come to the schools. Public schools. How many are there in South Africa? How many schools? 26,252. How many are on the school nutrition program? Okay, let us then say you are not going there negotiating with the Department of Basic Education, not being backed by anything. You are backed by a resolution that says school nutrition program and school furniture is a set aside for cooperatives. There's a resolution to that. So we are not creating that. We are not going there as a beggar. You are reminding them that you are part of the resolution for the grid, the school nutrition program, and school furniture. Again, you become creative because you are listening to what the Minister of Finance is doing. The Minister of Finance is not going to give us any money. Let's not fool ourselves to have this thing which, when we have implemented, maybe our budget will be increased. It will not be increased. He has said we are managing the debt and we want to use the available resources, the limited resources, in a much creative manner. Now, let us take a school here. The 21,420 schools on school nutrition program. Currently, in each school, there are about 3 food handlers, I guess, volunteer food handlers that are getting 900 rand. But let us say, let us look at the school in totality. Okay. And say, instead of these 3, four handlers per school. Maybe we group 3 schools and form one cooperative of 10 women unemployed. Taken, because the priority engages is women, taken from the social grant register and the indigent register, form a cooperative of 10, you allocate 3 schools to them. What is it that they do? They establish a greenhouse to produce some vegetables. So they are going to buy from themselves. 2, we provide them with a hard bakery. So they are going to make their own bread to supply the school nutrition program, but they will also sell to the community. 3, they also have a toilet washing machine that is running automatically. They only pay it at a particular time. They are 10. Different streams of income from one school. 4, they also cut veg in the school and they clean the toilet. Internet. So if 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, you will discover that that cooperative that was started by 10 will multiply the numbers because the 10 will not be able to cope with the work that has to be done. Because the aim here is to make them earn more than what they are getting from the social grant. And then you go to the Department of Social Development and say, you are paying these people when they have not done anything. I would want to partner with you to implement your sustainable livelihood program. I want to sign an agreement, a transversal agreement with you to implement the sustainable livelihood program. And this is the plan that I'm coming with. All I want you to assist me in doing is to go with you to convince Treasurer that the 90-10 and 80-20 procurement policy is not going to help you to reduce the number of people that are sitting on your social grant register. But if they can do away with that, you will have an exit of people that are sitting on your indigent, on your social grant register because of what I will do as the Department of Small Business to create more businesses and cooperatives. And hear what the Minister of social development will play. Will she not jump because she had a problem of forever increasing the number of years of people that are dependent on social grants? So, upana wako lo. When I was still a young girl, you would have a young man proposing love to you. And sometimes they don't agree by saying, yes, I love you. But you do things that should indicate to him that you have already agreed. But then he continues to propose. He continues to propose because he's not an experienced negotiator. And then we say, Mabu's about the local. Send me for me. No, in fact, I mean, I got one good thing for me. And then it's Telaganjalo, go out, Ustapinagi, the pen, Ushuti, Nomoga, Kubeva, Naye, Nikandan. He won't do the things that are done by lovers because he can't see when you agree, you're falling in love with him. So, so you must be smart and then find ways of being a good negotiator. Don't talk about your interest, talk about the other party's interest. Mina, if I was sitting in your space ledger, I would have signed my consensual agreement long time ago without my guidance. Because Mina Bingo have my interest. So what we shall have agreed on in terms of interest is what would inform the guidelines. Yeah, my guidelines are set for my for marriage. So the question then that I'm responding to is a question that is saying, we have limited resources and therefore we could not put high numbers. Minority, I strongly believe position that we can exceed the 9.9. More job targets if we think creative. I'm just saying in the beginning, I identified the market for you. And a market that you can tap into without a budget that is sitting with you. Now the new budget Abanga is correctly and creatively. Let us look at the public works. Public works is the custodian of schools. I'm not building for it. Manga has come in and go on oversight. You would find a ready market for SMEs and cooperatives in the form of schools with poor sanitation. Poor sanitation. And you go to the Department of Water Affairs and Sanitation and Department of Public Works because public works in register, yes, gone, if we are because of public works. So Agafoni, public works doesn't want to have in register engine of it, the schools that are falling apart. So it is in the interest of public works to have schools that are good. It is also in the interest of the Department of Basic Education and even teacher unions. Teachers want to go to an environment that is conducive for teaching, and children want to go to an environment that is conducive for learning. So you have armies there who are going to be on your side when you are asking for these things. Nikola Mutla Botha Bayata Luxala Gunama toilet Hanugayo 5 days in a week. You think that those children want to go to those toilets? Yes, here. Like Yago Palomalito. Now besides the poor sanitation that is falling apart, but there is another category sanitation of the ratio. How many girls and how many toilets in each school? The enrollment versus the facility. That is another. But the indirect, another SMME that you can establish is one that is producing raw material in the school building. Or infrastructure spend law. If here in Parliament, where we are, every year, Maguzovula in Parliament, there is maintenance work that is done. I'm a repair. And there is maintenance work that is done every day. Another school engine. A place that has got more than 200 people, how many toilet papers are used? Those who are cleaning here, from whom do they buy their cleaning material? Here in Parliament. Who supplies this water? And then, who collects this bottle and manufactures what out of it? Because you know what it is. This, when crushed, becomes the raw material of producing a t-shirt that has 65% polyester and 85% cotton. I look at what was happening with Unaranga, Minister Shaban. People collecting these boxes, and I wonder, are they waste collectors or they are collecting to take them to their own depot as a cooperative to then recycle them to produce the school uniforms for the schools in Malamulele, or they are going to be selling to the a waste recycling company on about 1 cent recycling bottle. I can go on and on and on and on. So again, I want us to get into the market opportunities in both the public sector and the private sector. I'm happy in this document is where this document is full of 30% for SMEs and cooperatives. But I want you to tell me, which is there an act that makes it enforceable for people to access to this? Yes, we call it.
Chairperson, I think that is a moment we are relying on the procurement that the state is going to be short in terms of such a site. But there is no other than
for how many years have we had the such a site, no food?
Chairperson, it's been some time now, but up to now we don't have the practice notice. We don't even have an implementation enabling tool to implement it.
What is missing? The egg. The egg. So, a commitment and a statement, this is, if President 30%, he is actually making a policy pronouncement. What is then expected after that is to work on the legislation to make that happen. And I think that is what then would be required from this committee and this department. Because President, you say you need the language. You say you need the master. You say you need the language. Now, President, you need the language.
Chairperson, yithi and the panel will persuade the law or control the regulation ukuthi angeke amende ukuthi sikwazi ukuthi-ke ibe operational ukuthileka treasury efanele persuade ukuthi enze umsebenzi wakhe asinikeze le nto esidingayo.
Do we want a regulation or an act?
We want the law.
What is us to think that way?
Is it possible that you could be able to hold people accountable to it?
If it is a law, you can hold people accountable. If it is a regulation, they can have different interpretations. It worked in Brazil because there was President Lula promulgated. Wasali Air Service Purchasing Act. It worked in Kenya because it is an act, not a regulation. The minute we issue a regulation, you are subject to different interpretations. You will have the people going to the Competition Commission. You will have Amakos coming up with their own interpretation of it, and you will have a business sector interpreting it, and the liable, the department who are used to the tendering system and are using the procurement policy 1920. And you will find it difficult to implement this because they are going to say, yes, there is a 20%, but the prices of SMMEs and cooperatives are higher than those of big businesses. So, the point I'm making is that we still have work to do. Masuka said, which is a single asgafi. Now, let us go back to the market, Jeff. How many presidents do we have in South Africa?
There are plenty of presidents. I don't want to see that actually. I'm not afraid.
Mbola. Who has been dealing with a set aside? Because the toilet paper is a set aside. Who has been dealing with that? And who has been scanning the market for a toilet paper within the government sector? But set aside, one of the products of set aside is the toilet paper. The biggest consumer of the toilet paper is the prison. Because the population here is prison. In Westville, 6,000. How many toilet papers are used in a facility that has 6,000 people? How many? It's made that you have 4 foot to your toilet. You can't boycott, and you can't come out of the toilet by 7 days, the toilet paper. Now, combine the schools, government offices, airports, trains, aeroplanes, prisons, hospitals, how far away?
Even us in
toilet. Yeah, I'm not saying that. So I understand the market research and go to here. But it's cool. And we all know which raw material you're going to toilet paper equal. You know, the recycled paper, the soda. Recycled paper, the soda. Okay. Print it. Yes, Deshnar. Printing and booking the schools in Kambe Lama district. Let's say we have this printing cooperative, yes, Deshnar, supplying this school. How about we first of all cover on the daily language? Yes, that is a good. This is the Spanish and Tina City 3 cooperatives. Bungashona no Gucci Jet 27 for the 27 presidential poverty notable. When she sent financials of 3 good 3. No, I've told you it's not your money. It's not your money. Tell them to pay back the money to you. So let us think in a very creative manner. Mobilize a school governing body. Which, hey, I see again, not an uniform song, jam. We've been to cooperatives in Caltex that are producing school jerseys. All they said was, hey, if the department can subsidize us with the machines, it's 250. That is the thing that cooperatives get here. To supply the primary cooperatives that are producing jerseys and supplying the schools. Not the marketing one. The secondary cooperative that is good. These 6 machines producing these jerseys. But it doesn't end there. You go to Minister Swaled, has also introduced a uniform, a white, a maroon jersey. And he says to me, the Department of Health supplies each nurse with 5 uniforms per year. Quite like a shirt, come to this. White, don't be below. Hometown, GG, white. And you just go to M.E.C. Koshian, Sekalile, which Ali Hemp, Simbunile Pumile, we got working in the field of hemp. The best quality your producer, product your producer is fabric is hemp. Ushone Rui, that's when I tell you both. Pull our cotton seeds, we the labo mama brings our cotton seeds. And then establish a man with the cooperative producer is if I break your winter my uniform out 5-10 FPA. Manjubari. Use the power of governing the country to develop the underdeveloped. Umala and my uniform talk man is the India. You know why the Indian schools are wearing uniform, I'm sure? Because the fabric that is used comes from India. But I put my firm up as an in. I'm going to make the coach, freedom chart. Clause 3. The wealth of the country shall be shared amongst the people. 3.3. All industry and trade shall be controlled to assist the well-being of the people. Relate that to the public procurement and infrastructure spend. Relate that to the 70% local procurement. Relate that to IBAP. And relate that to the 30%. You have all the instruments, all that you need, regulation. But lastly, that regulation, or that are not a regulation, the police, the act, the bill, Comrade Medium. It must not be a bill to implement the 30% only. It must be a bill to implement the 30% and punish those. How will they be punished, those that do not adhere to that 30%? Then we will have scare. We will have open. Now, page 28.
The focus is on agriculture, manufacturing, and energy. So many schools are being built. Who's going to supply the raw materials to them? And who's going to build? Don't want the 30% one is of going to the QI. Madam, I'm infrastructure. You don't also want to partner with the Department of Human Settlement and say 30% of the houses must be built by cooperatives and SMEs, and the material that is supplied to build all 30% of it must be bought from. And for Nushovajak?
No, we are definitely targeting those. It's just that the way we have coined it, you know, most of the building staff, some of them will come from the manufacturing sector. That's how we coined the whole thing, without being specifically just the construction, or because these are subsectors, some of them, you see.
Infrastructure talks to road maintenance, talks to the actual building, not only supplying. And here, the ruling part, it's a developer, not cooperatives, or public procurement, or infrastructure then. Billions are being pumped on building rail infrastructure, upgrading the railway stations. You don't want 30% of that. You don't want that 30%.
Which is correct. 30% is what I can say.
You're correct.
We're correct.
Station. Train stations, how many are there in South Africa? We are piloting the clinic of the train station, but it can also open an opportunity for plumbing in them, the painting, the electrification. So now why are we sitting back? Because the transfer that is going to pay for that, it's their stations, all the mean that you are doing, you are just plugging the SMME and a cooperative. That's what pays for that. So it doesn't need you. But what I want to find out, Ugochi, what is the business model here, Sida? Because we are going to be calling Sida. Can you explain to us the business model here, Sida, and how that 300 million that will be going to Sida will actually impact on the development of SMEs and cooperatives? Because mean I'm telling one of my officers say that one person or two people, and then on my figure lab, I'll say we're going to consult her. I guess if I let me my sugar, good treasure. It comes from treasure, land guard. It's a department. Comes from treasure, it comes to the department. In the department, you get a DDG that relates to SIDA. I don't know what you move between these two. Mjalif, I get paid. Let us not put his actual salary. Let's just say 10 rand. Together with the chief director below Mjalifa, let's say a Nusola, 8 rand. And the senior manager, I'm Nusola, 6 rand. It's the 100 rand that we are working on, look developing cooperatives. Then Jalifa does all the paperwork together with the strategy and all about that. And then, my second year, he posts the money to SIDA. When this money arrives in SIDA, it pays for the office, you see.
10 rand, no more, 2 rand. It also pays for this CEO of SIDA. It also pays for the CFO of SIDA. It also pays for the board members of SIDA. This is the issue in SIDA, in Majangamanga. Then the issue of SIDA also posts to the branches they need. Angawaba alabanyaba below the CFO and CEO. No SIDA na liya ipo tayo manju say it's a profit. Ihambe ini panjang. Then it arrives in the profit. Nakona po siko ne offices. Nabantaba ko nam haba ba utrawa ufo. And consultants, yeah. Which one is the one who is talking? Is to get a consultant. If these people need training, there is no capacity in SIDA. There is no one who trains in SIDA. SIDA outsources that. You can be so well. Mr. Excellent, then I got a new deputy mayor. As a new deputy mayor, I was a deputy mayor in Uku and was a SIDA office in Uku. Also, the program of cleaning the train stations was initiated by me, Yepra, when I was the person in the transport. The implementing agent, Eagashwa Yepraza, went to SIDA to register those cooperatives and ask for SIDA with our train. It said that outsourced the training. Unless if that is the sequence of the case and you have a different experience. Question then the end users are good to air. Banga pendul won't tell who can do a minute. Okay. The money they figure is in Garana and good woman to know that it is designed for. If you have a Iwa la station or the last dish, go all stations. That is why I am asking Muti, that is the business not in your SIDA. If you see that here I run the training, I'm telling you the training than I your SIDA. Number trainers is SIDA. Because HHN in Uk where I was a deputy mayor, there is no trainer in SIDA. It's either outsourcing. On the program that I initiated after I had been a deputy mayor, I came back here. I initiated the project, Yopina is the trust. That program is piloted in KZN, Gauteng, Western Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal. We visited that program during the oversight year's portfolio committee. And what we were told by CRASA in Devon is these people are not fully fledged cooperatives because the training that they receive doesn't qualify them. And China, it is not our core business to train them as cooperatives. We open the market for them. So, I want to go for the pendula where so I know. Pedula Mbubu Yashi.
Mamu said you are correct. I'm not gonna dispute the what you're articulating. In fact when we first presented to the minister as work streams, you know, that's one of the questions the minister asked, because we spoke about the model. And there are in-house business advisors. However, not every SIDA branch, of the 43 SIDA branches we have across the country, not you will find some branches may have one business advisor, two, three, four, and so on. And I'm sure in some cases you may find a branch without a business advisor. And in that case, you're right, what tends to happen
those branches outsource the services to the consultants.
The train that I have, which is theater, is government entity. And the FET and a university remains to government. But you said that it's a research consultant and charge an hour. Now, here's what you say. FETA uses a consultant to develop a business plan for an illiterate person who will cost 120,000. Something that could have been developed by the business unit, who needs to be a student and the AMA business studies with university. So that's not your payment. The big chunk of money any people in the need to sell our data. In actual business department, it's been the least data. We are sure now. As in Kunamina, the real breakdown would say how much to both members of data. And how much has been spent by CEDA who outsourced to the consultants and what has been the impact. The Kumbulepen, which as much as we are dealing with this moving forward, we are also reflecting because we want to assess the business model. Yes, CEDA, for CEDA to then be baptized and be born again. Yes.
See, I'm not going to defend CEDA. I think we have made mention of the fact that we have to review the CEDA mandate and see how CEDA operates. And I think it has been in discussion even before this department was formed that the way CEDA operates, especially the extension of service utilizing consultants, is not a correct one. Especially because some of the consultants that are utilized, you can't even really get to detect if there's a value for money in terms of what that they have produced. Because, let me put it this way, some of the business plans that are produced by these consultants are not bankable. Because you need to produce a business plan that will be able to, when you go to a financier, be able to get funding for it. So it means there's no value for money than if you produce a business plan that cannot be funded. So these are the things that we really have to look at in terms of how we review how CEDA is supposed to function. And right now CEDA has an academy, but the academy is an inward looking because it's looking only at CEDA staff and CEDA business advisors. It doesn't look at the outside. So these are some of the things that we have to look at to say, is this academy supposed to actually extend its mandate to look at people from outside? On the question of the payment of the boards, there I really think they are just serving for, don't get anything, because it's under 3,000. Yeah, it's under 3,000 per city. Yeah. So it's not really a lot of money.
Now, let us look at the picture that I painted of the prison, the schools, the target market, and the 15 million budget for cooperatives, and the 600 million for CEDA that will go to consultants. And mfuna ningaphenduli nihambe niyolala ninitshela ukuthi ngihlupheni. What I'm saying for your benefit, Honorable Kruger, is that I don't want them to give me a response. I'm saying they must look at the 15 million allocated for cooperatives, the total budget. Amako of 15 million. And I have said here, there are 278 municipalities all over the potholes. There are 21,420 schools all having a school nutrition program, and a resolution that says the school nutrition program belongs to cooperative and the school bench. And then look at whether it is possible for you to facilitate development of those cooperatives that are going to produce furniture to supply the schools and repair the furniture in the schools and provide the school nutrition program to 21,420 schools and repair and upgrade the sanitation in all the schools, utilize the 15 million, and then take the 600 million and give it to CEDA. And then look at which has got more value between the two. And I don't want you to respond today. I am saying go and sleep with this question and tell me tomorrow, what did you dream about? Did you have a peaceful night or a sleepless night when you look at 600 million to see that going to consultant? Postcodes in all municipalities, the 278 of them, you heading around Shibin next to those schools, to those roads, next to those schools with broken windows, sinking toilet. Go and sleep. So after the 14th of April, Ninjanguti Nilaleva Alegona won the yellow tune. Nipuke Ashe Yin. Nipuke Natman Lele, Nabon Guti. We did justice by allocating 15 million to cooperatives and give 600 million to CEDA. We did justice. Because when I was there, I was going to say, I'm reducing the budget to CEDA because I am evaluating the business model of CEDA. And allocating budget to land and the results are. Mena, I would have done that. I'm not saying you must do that, Minister. Mena, I would have done that. And say it is better for me to allocate, to shift this money and let it go to where I will have immediate results and I will have direct impact, because I will be working with Department of Higher Education, I will be working with the Department of Public Work, I will be working with the Department of Basic Education, and I will address service delivery issues while I am restructuring ECDA, than to give Ukitimusi Futi with ECDA. I'm not saying you shouldn't change it. I'm not asking you to change it. I'm saying go and ponder on it for the next 2 weeks. We will revisit that. So and then after that, before we go to budget vote, we will then regroup and say, Pagimina, it is in my conscience, yet I still feel good. It's the that we need to get the biggest life and I'm a cooperative actually my bread crumbs when I know which A. There is a sustainable market for cooperative and SMMEs in the form of public procurement, and all that I need is money to implement that and make that tech. All I'm asking is Habanje Noi Kabang Leon. Nibuye Nizo Yish which A. Since Nia Kubera Yin. Uman Kubera. So bindu la nangane so kati kuchi e sina sbona ganja. So haba na so zbotela sot sbona ganja nguchi si ipe yini sita si ngwete de la kuma kooparti so anige zufu perfect
ufuna ukukhuluma mina. Thank you, Chairperson. I think I must respond firstly to the question where it was a question plus just a comment by Honorable Mulaudi. We already had communicated to the Department of Public Service in relation to the addition of cooperatives. And unfortunately for us, may his soul rest in peace, who Minister Chabane was in the process of processing that, because it had to go through him and then go to the President. But we still pursue it, because remember, we agreed with you, yourselves, Honorable Members, that we think it's important for cooperatives to be included. Actually, this very issue that we are discussing here that relates to cooperatives is a challenge, because as I asked the same question months ago, you know, when I was getting the reports about SIDA, I couldn't connect the work that SIDA was doing to the output at the end. I could connect what they said SIDA was meant to do, yes, but I couldn't connect. As a result, my very first visit to the precinct, I requested to go and see the SIDA offices. And I came back to the department and I said, I don't know how many people go to that office, where it is situated, and the fact that there's no satellite, there's no nothing, there's not even mobile something that goes out to the communities, at least to talk to the communities. So my view is, we hear you, Jefferson, and we will go and ponder on it. And I think that what you said earlier about ourselves becoming born again is a very serious matter. It's not a minor issue. And you know, when I said to you yourselves, Honorable Members, that we don't come here, my personal view is that under no circumstances do I come here to be showered with praises and everything. I also want to come here and be told and be assisted in getting things right. The bottom line is, it's about our people. If we are SIDA that is gulping so much money and even fighting within themselves and everything, and when you look at what the end result at the end, you don't get what you expect, obviously the review needs to happen. I think it's important for us also to realize that when we had our workshop, where we were also assisted by Susan Danuba and Boboto, one of the things that they said when they came back, they said to us, if what we assisted you in developing and produce something together with you and the contribution of the portfolio committee, if what came out of there is what you need to implement, you need a mind shift. You need to look at almost all the programs that you have in place and evaluate those programs, review what needs to be reviewed, but just be bold and take bold decisions if you want to. And so we have agreed, which again, the problem is just that our bureaucracy sometimes makes it very difficult, but as a new department, we think that we'll continue to assist in the changing of certain things, because we're conscious of why we are where we are. I mean, 20 years, in all honesty, is not a very short time, but 20 years also is not a short time for people to then hide behind the fact that it's 20 years. What we have the capacity to change, we must change. There is no doubt in where we sit that what needs to be changed, we must change. But of course, being a new department, it's unfortunate that we are arriving into a space where we have to review, reevaluate before you can even begin to implement. So we will take the time, because by the way, it's no longer even SIDA alone. You now have to contend with both SIDA and ZIFA. And there's quite a number of issues even within SIDA itself, and its relationship with the IDC and the regulation, the act that covers it.
So you have a lot of work to do, we also have a lot of work to do. And the only way we can be able to do that work is to be able to say, not that it might be that we spend the whole day sitting here, but that's what we need to do. That's just bottom line for me. That's what we need to do. So many of the issues that were raised by honorable members, we will go and ponder on those. And the good thing about it is that this is a continued and a continuous responsibility that you have as a committee to do your oversight. And we have tried to find the best that we can to be here. We have to be here. We do understand the reason why we have to be here. And we will continue. In fact, it's been very strenuous for us because we don't have the full complement of the department. And I think once we have even a fuller complement, the workload is going to be a little bit less but more focused and shared by the people that are supposed to be. But, Chair, if you allow me to just close on our side, I do want to say to the Portfolio Committee that I have a mean team sitting here. We fight, we argue, we do everything necessary for us to get things right. We are, I said to them the other week, we are supposed to be a quest for zero defect. We are not a machine, but there's something called quest for zero defect, genuine technology. So we will strive to be that as much as we possibly can. It's not easy. Even the fact that there's a budget that's sitting in front of me, I decided from the very beginning, it's way my babu, the budget is not enough. I realized it's not going to help me. I then went back to the staff and said, guys, let's be realistic. This is what we have. What do we do with what we have? How do we maximize other potential that exists in other places? Because the money that it has at provincial level for economic development is huge. The money that sits with local government might not necessarily be the same. I mean, if you look at Gauteng and they tell you the amount of money they have for township infrastructure development, I think it's bigger than our budget. It's bigger than our budget. Now, if we are smart, as the chair says, we started creating a working relationship with them. We need to be able to not do what the chairperson says about this boyfriend who tries to get somebody and cannot even see that you already said yes. So we need to use that in going to the provinces. You know, come with flowers if you have to come with flowers, come with chocolate if you want to come with chocolate. Hopefully the Bureau will understand that it's, you know, we are agreeing to them. We just want to work with each other. As I said earlier, very few provinces responded, but the ones that responded, we were able to respond back to them as quickly as we possibly can. So all these issues, Chair, that you're raising of the opportunities and possibilities and what can happen in terms of the figures that are calculating, I mean, I think this department can sit down and do that. This is a huge potential. But the potential will also happen if the Portfolio Committee continues to do what I saw happening when I came here, and it was the Department of Transport and the Department of Energy and Water and Sanitation. Let me tell you, Chair, the vibe that came out of that, they started calling other departments to say, go! If you are going there, you'd better be ready. I picked this up when I went to the workshop of the telecommunications, yes, yesterday. When we walked in there, we felt that, you know, we have it because the Portfolio Committee also was there. But before the Portfolio Committee was there, we had conversations with the minister and others. They were very clear that you don't mess up with the Portfolio Committee of Small and Medium Enterprises. So if we work together like we are doing, and again, I really would like to say to you, please never ever under my leadership of this team here, feel that when you are criticizing us, you are making us feel whatever. We know your responsibility. And we will take it with the positive stride that we need to, because at the end of the day, it's about delivering to our people. I think it's a year now almost that we've been coming here. And I don't think we disappointed you. We've been very consistent. We've been listening to you. And I must say, in the beginning when I started, it was like, no, we're not, Minister Zulu, you're starting a wrong precedent. You know, it doesn't work like that. You are apologizing then, apologizing then. But the bottom line is that working together has made it easy for us to be able to be focused on our work. And also, let me say, even with the opposition, it's not to say we don't understand their face. We understand their face very well. And we appreciate constructive criticism. Constructive criticism is what will build this country, in my view. And the only way we can build the country is to be able to sit around here and not call each other outside. And sit here and finish our work here and go away feeling like it was worthwhile sitting here all this time, spending all these hours sitting here. And I'm hoping that the staff that I'm coming with here has understood that, they will always understand that. And it's, in my view, they know that we are open to robust engagement and robust discussion. Our coming here and being grilled here must not reduce our enthusiasm to get the job done. We will get the job done. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. The project is very, we feel like we are working together. But I learned in the it's working hand in hand in lover's paradise. Today I'm going to ask you, Honorable November, to wrap up on the apostle, because in our committee, every member speaks. So I didn't ask a question, I'm going to give her the opportunity to wrap up on behalf of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Minister and the team, and thank you to the Honourable Member. It is, as you have said, that to be here, it's not about we want to be very much, you know, special or grilling you, but it's all about work. And in the spirit that we see, in the space that we walk on, we can see that really change is here. Because change means to me change as with the letters as the other. Change to me means commitment. Change to me means that if I'm committed, I have to be wholeheartedly committed. My attitudes also have to change. And it is then that I will be able to adapt new ideas. And I'll grow and I'll be empowered. That is what I've learned from this committee and from the leadership of our leader, that is the chairperson, the minister, who is always there. It's rare that ministers go to portfolio committees. It's very rare. They're busy, and we understand that they are busy. But because our two ministers, as a new, we're normal, we can't hide and say we're a new department. You can't renew all the time. We have to work now. The pavilion line, we crawled, see our book, and now, even enough, I know how we hit the road, honey. So with those words, I want to say thank you to the honorable members. Thank you, Mr. Kruger. Kruger is not so deeply, so the smart way, so the black way, so by a I want to say thank you to the President. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We want to thank each other. We all know that it's the one one period on the calendar of years that has got a high rate of accidents. It is my wish that none of us would be unfortunate to be involved in an accident. We just had a very bad experience. It was not a good thing to attend the funeral of the late Honorable Minister Chavan. Even after I had been to that funeral, I could still not believe that we were in his funeral. I also want to thank members of this committee. A number of them were there. Thank you very much. And to lose three hardworking people in such is unbelievable. So I would like to say that thank you very much. Travel safely and be careful over the Easter weekend. We need all of you back. Thank you very much. I declare my thanks. Have a lovely Easter weekend.